Welcome to the Tech Flash. If you're looking to increase your ed tech knowledge that's quick and easy to listen to, you have come to the right place. Let's join our host Josh and see what today's episode is all about.
And welcome to the Tech Flash. We got another big show today. Well, I think all shows are kind of big because I'm a little biased, but it's my show, all those fun things. But today we've got a big one. We got Shane Heck on the line today. Hey, Shane, how's it going?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. It's, you know, I know we went to college together just to kind of catch people up. Went to college together. We were RAs together. And then we got kind of disconnected a little bit, and we met up back at TCA just, I guess, about a month ago.
Yeah. Time's flying, right?
I know. It's like, it's really unreal how time has flown, because it doesn't seem like we've been out of college that long, not been real adults for that long, but it's been really fun to connect with you.
For sure. Yeah, time is definitely flying. It seems like just yesterday we were at Kleist, right? That was the name?
Yeah.
Called Clive Hall. Yeah.
Living our best lives. No work is in the world.
Yeah, no bills, nothing. Crazy. Yeah.
No. So let's kind of catch people up a little bit, Shane. So tell us, I know you're in Greenville, South Carolina, correct?
Yep, over in Greenville, right?
And then, not too far away. So kind of catch us up, kind of what your role is, what do you do, and all those fun things. Are any fun facts about you? Just kind of starting out.
Yeah, okay, awesome. Well, I started my teaching career down in the Low Country, down at what it's called in South Carolina, on the coast. I lived in Beaufort, South Carolina, and I taught middle school science down there for 5 or 6 years. School I taught at was Will Grant, so man, I love those kids, and I feel like I owe my career to them. In 2016, my family and I, we relocated to the upstate of South Carolina, so that's, we live outside of Greenville, but I work for Greenville County School District, which is by far the largest school district in South Carolina, and it's one of the top 50 largest in the U.S., really. We're pretty big. And when we moved up here, I was just blessed with an opportunity to be in it. It's what's called an instructional technology facilitator. And I know that role varies. I know that name varies from district to district, from state to state. But basically what I do is I'm assigned to a group of schools, and I'm actually on the Title I side. So I work with Title I schools. We'll push into those schools and lead professional development or workshops. And sometimes those are ed tech, instructional technology focused. And sometimes I'll collaborate with the ICs or the administrators in that school, and we'll deliver, you know, monthly content together. So that just kind of varies school to school as to how that goes. Another big part of what I do is coaching with teachers, or I'll push into their planning periods, work with them one-on-one, work with the science department, just kind of help them problem solve or figure out how to accomplish this big project or this big goal that they're trying to reach. So that, you know, once again, varies based on the group that I'm working with. And then the last thing that we really try to intentionally do is co-teach or do model lessons for teachers. So if they want to know how to use Pear Deck or how to use Canva, I'll push into the class and do a lesson for them so they can kind of watch me, they can get comfortable with it. And then maybe I'll gradually release that tool to them. If I'm in a middle school where I'm teaching with them all day long, maybe I'll gradually release that to them throughout the day. Or even if it's just an elementary class, maybe I'll do the lesson for them this time. But the next time, I'll just kind of be there to support them. So that's kind of the big three things that we do. But I'm sure you probably feel this too. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that we don't always get credit for, but that we do as well to kind of help make sure that, you know, everything stays afloat.
Oh my goodness. I know, like, all those things like are great things that we do that people see, but really there's so much behind the scenes. Like, I think that's the hardest part about this job. Sometimes people are always like, well, what do you do? And you can explain those things, but then there's also those things behind the scenes that you tell them, and it's like, I don't know really how to explain this. So it's always a fun little mix.
Episode. Yeah, we could probably do a whole episode about the crazy things we do behind the scenes.
Oh, like, my goodness. I know.
I know that's not our topic for today.
No, listen, this can go anywhere. I didn't know what I told you before the show, Shane, that, you know, I love just having genuine conversations. I know sometimes I come up with the idea or the plans, but sometimes those go awry. And I just love the genuine part of it. I think that's really what's drawn me in to podcasting and just listening to more podcasting. Because I've said this a ton to a lot of people, podcasting really wasn't my thing. But the more genuine things that I listen to, the more that I absolutely love these things. And it's just unreal to just even have my own show. So it's super cool.
Awesome.
So really, you know, we do the same roles, kind of those things. And I think before we flip our script here, I think what's been awesome for me, Shane, is just getting to not just connect with you and form that relationship again. I think it's been awesome to talk to someone with the same role outside of my little bubble of people that I talk to. I think it's been really interesting in just how you guys run things and do things, and our new like professional learning network that we've created has just been awesome.
Yeah, same here. I really appreciate it. I'm glad we bumped into each other at CCEA. That was awesome.
Yeah, it's almost like it was destiny. So, all right. So today's Shane, and I know like I told you just a little bit, but we're going to talk about just our top tools. I think especially with the end of the year coming up, you know, we've got, especially here in Tennessee, we've got state testing coming up. I'm sure you're about the same. And so, I don't know, let's just talk about some tools that maybe could help teachers, maybe things that are favorites, and we'll just kind of go down that avenue. So the first... Awesome. So the first one I want to talk about, and this is, I don't know, sometimes this could be talked about a ton, but let's talk about maybe some top AI tools that we just love, that are just so powerful and those things. So on this one, Shane, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot and I'm going to let you go first. What is your top AI tool that you just really enjoy? Or maybe there's two of them. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've done a lot of training here in Greenville County on the topic of AI. I mean, that's what's taking over education in the edtech world right now, right? It's all about AI, generative AI. But I think if I had, we've tried to stick to training on ChatGPT just because that, you know, that started the revolution. That's what came out first. So that's kind of the tool that we stuck to. There's a lot of other awesome ones coming out now as well, but that was the one we built our original training deck around for teachers that we rolled out. But if I had to kind of pick one and just kind of that I just love, that I've had a lot of fun showing to teachers, and that I actually think has really saved me a ton of time, and just that, you know, one that I've been able to use the power of leverage AI to my advantage, I think I would have to go with Magic School AI. I'm really just kind of digging what they're creating, what they're putting out for teachers. I was able to meet their CEO, Adil. Some other people on their leadership team, is Jen, is Steffi. They are doing some really good stuff there. And the reason I just really love it is because when I work with a teacher, for example, in another LLM, when we log into ChatGPT, it can be a bit frustrating to some extent. It can be a bit overwhelming. Like, okay, I see this thing and this is really, really powerful. And I'm hearing that it's really, really powerful, but I don't always know what all it can do. It's like if you bought a brand new car, or if you're used to driving this 2010 car and you suddenly upgrade, you don't even know what the car is capable of, right? It just takes a long time, and you can kind of get in there and play around, and you know it can take the learning curve is maybe steep when you're trying to figure out how to get genuine output that you really, really want, right, from ChatGPT. So what I love with Magic School AI, for example, is that they have these generators already built for you, and they like to call them magic tools, I believe is the phrase that they use, that you can come in, and whereas with ChatGPT or another LLM, you don't know what it's capable of. With Magic School, you can actually click on one of those generators or one of those magic tools and really kind of get a lot, move more closely to the output that you want just based on the generator that you choose. So if you're wanting help with developing multiple choice questions or depth of knowledge questions, or you need real world connections, or if you need help crafting an email, you click on a specific generator that will help you do that, right? And then once you get inside of the generator, they have some fields in there for you that you fill out. You might fill out, you know, that you're teaching seventh grade, that these are your state standards, that you want there to be this many, you know, they have just different criteria for you. And I really think that's the power right there, is they've got this criteria built in so that you don't have to be an expert at AI prompt crafting. Like the busy teacher may not have time to learn how to do that, but with Magic School AI, they've done a lot of that heavy lifting for you. And so you just kind of, you know that you teach seventh grade, you know your standards, you plug and chug, and you really get a good output Whereas with ChatGPT, that can be challenging sometimes for a teacher. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think ChatGPT is a wonderful tool, but again, you have to know how to talk to it. You have to know the specifics of it. And I think that's a big challenge. And I love that with Magic School, and Magic School is one of my top ones, that, you know, it's just already there. Like if I need to look for an email, if I need to look for a lesson plan creator, like it walks you through that. And I think even like with teachers, you know, you get on a Magic School and like, all right, so I don't really know what I need to type here. Should I type this? Should I type that? But I love that they have that explore session part where you can click that button. And now you've got an example of a prompt. You got an example of how to do that. And I think that's just goodness. Like Magic School, like you said, this is, I think, a real big game changer for teachers. Yeah. And it's not hard to get on. Like, it's just there.
Yeah. And then even once you generate output, like you've got Reina, which is their chatbot, or you've got some actions at the bottom. If you need to translate that, if you need to summarize it, you need it to be rewritten at a lower level. It's just really like a click. Those buttons are there for you, right? Like, so you know what it's capable of doing. So yeah, and that exemplar feature is so cool. So cool.
Oh my goodness. And Reina?
I'm really interested to see too. Like, they've got Magic Student rolling out really, really soon this month. And I think that's where the conversation's headed, right? Like, we've been talking about, okay, how can AI save teachers' time? How can they use it for content creation? But we really need to kind of shift that conversation and looking at, like, okay, how are we going to teach students to work with AI? And how are we going to do that in a way that, you know, protects their privacy, that their data is secure, that they're safe, right? But that they're also being educated onto how can I use this in the future, right? So I'm really, really excited to see what that Magic Student looks like here in the next few weeks.
I know. And speaking of, so to back up just a little bit, Shane.
Yeah.
So with this chatbot Reina, cannot speak today. But listen, so I've only have the free version of Magic School now, so I don't get to interact with her. And I'm that type of person that doesn't typically pay for subscriptions, pays for these ed tech tools. But I think Magic School's going to be the one that, I don't know about now, but probably at the start of the school year in August, that I'm going to pay for that. Because I think this tool, this resource is just unreal, the whole platform. And I really mean that. Like I don't buy things, but this is one thing, Shane, that I'm really gonna consider purchasing.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I agree with you. Yep, definitely.
Now,
all right, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. What's up?
Can I give you another AI idea or AI tool?
Yeah, but listen, before we transition to Magic School, we talked about the student version of it. I know I'm excited about that as well. And before we even get away from Magic School, Shane, I want to toot your horn a little bit because I think I saw this on Twitter. I saw this on X. You've been in a special group of those Magic School educators, right? In the semifinalist, right?
Yeah, but I'm really just like one member of a.
I know it.
Yeah, superstars over here. So I'm. But I say my name, but it could have subbed anybody on my team, really. So, but I do really appreciate them. I've generated a ton of stuff in Magic School. So maybe they look at like, oh my gosh, this guy's created way too much stuff in here. We just got to include him in this list.
I hear you. And it's even like, you know, you can become an AI pioneer for Magic School certifications and all these things. And you can really do that with any program. But I think it really sets apart sometimes when you've been inducted maybe into this group that you really are passionate. And you can tell just by the tone of your voice and how you're talking about Magic School, this is really a passion for you. So I didn't necessarily want to toot your horn too much, but I just want people to know that Magic School is awesome. All right, so you said you've got another one. So let's hear your other one, then I'm going to tell you mine. What's your other tool you got for AI?
Well, I think the other one that I'm really, really intrigued about now is just the ability for students to generate images. And I've been thinking about that a lot. I've been exploring that personally, and I really think I just see all kinds of potential there with, you know, even if you've got first graders who've written a fantasy book or high schoolers who've written more like informational text. Like, I think the ability to generate an image from a prompt is going to be so cool for a student. So I know there are a couple other their platforms out there. Gemini for Google was doing that. I know they've backed up that now, but I know Microsoft Designer can do that. Canva has an AI image generator in there. So I really see myself over the next year kind of developing out projects that students can do using AI image generators. I think that's going to be a lot of fun, but also just a really, really cool experience for students to see, like, oh my gosh, I can craft words together and create this image. I can edit those words to get a different looking dragon that I'm writing about in my fantasy year. So, not a specific tool, but just the ability for students to generate images. I think it's going to be really, really cool.
Oh yeah. Even for like an adult, it's like, I've done that a couple times this week, and I've used Microsoft's Copilot, and it's really fun to how you twist your words or make, you know, make a creative image or do this or do that. And it's just, it's so interesting how you switch that up. And I can totally see like our littles to our high school kids really having a lot of fun creating these images and be really easy and quick to do it.
Yeah, that Microsoft Copilot is really cool, right?
Yes. Now, the only downside, I think, to the Copilot, and I'm sure they're going to work out the kinks because it's still fairly new, is sometimes I've asked it for the show. I've asked for a podcasting logo, and I said, put the Tech Flush, the actual words on there. And sometimes they misspell them or those type of things. You know, you're going to have that with a generator. But also, I think eventually that's going to change where it's a little more accurate.
Yeah, the tech will catch up. I think so, for sure. All right, so what's your favorite AI tool?
Goodness, I would have said Magic School, but you took that one away from me, Shane. So I think my favorite one is going to be Diffit. And I think...
Okay. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Diffit. And Diffit really hits my heart because, you know, I was a special education teacher for 12 years. And Diffit is just so easy for teachers to change grade levels. Like, because when I first logged on to Diffit, it was like, oh, look, I can change my grade level super quick. I can change the language of it super quick. I can type in what kind of passage I need. Or, you know, you can put your article in, you can put a YouTube URL in there, or you can just put any text in there in general. I think that's just phenomenal to be able to do that quick and easy. And that's been a big push, especially with my special ed teachers. You know, you've got kids that are two or three grade levels more behind, are behind in their reading ability. So now they're really struggling to access that text. They're really struggling to learn the same thing, content standards that their peers are learning. So if you can take that same text and put it down on their level, I mean, that's totally a game changer, Shane.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm loving what I see with this. And then they've got the export to Google features that are in there too, right?
Yes. And what I love about tools, Shane, is, you know, sometimes you get on there and you just see the part of it. And you're like, oh, this is awesome. And then you go share part of it. And then you're like, all right, I need to dig deeper. And the deeper that I've dug into Diffit, goodness, like, because now you can get questions, you get vocabulary words. And then once you do that, you can export those questions into a Google form. Not just as AI doesn't save time, but just that coolness of it. Like, it's just there. It's done. I don't know. It's just unreal, the things that we're experiencing here in education.
Yeah, the tools that have the ability to move to Google, I think, are ones that I'm really loving. I know Magic School's got that as well. Diffit's got that. I think there might be another one, but I can't remember the name of it. But
Brisk. I think it was Brisk, right?
Is it Brisk? Okay.
I think it was Brisk. Brisk is another fun favorite because that one's so, you don't even have to open up a window to go to the program. Like, you've got, like, it's almost like Magic School's got that extension now. So Brisk has the same thing, and it just floats there. You click on it, and bam, it, like, happens.
Yeah, so cool, so cool.
You know, it's like,
have you played with quizzes at all? Do you guys use quizzes much over there?
Have I played with quizzes, Shane? I created a quiz the other day acting like I was the president of the United States. Or, you know, like, we could have been a rapper, or we could have been a famous ball player. Like, the options with quizzes are endless.
Mm-hmm. And they've done a lot to really pull in that AI stuff. So powerful.
Oh my goodness. And getting with the extensions and just, not just having to go to a program, it's just so easy. I just wish that more people knew about it. And it's crazy to think, you know, we know about it, all these like tools, and you share them, but sometimes you get that, those pockets of people, and it's like, where have you been? Like, you got to find this stuff out.
Well, they need to listen to the Tech Flush.
They do need tech flush. And what's funny about all these tools, Shane, is like, I know you're probably getting excited right now. I'm getting excited about just talking about this stuff. And it's funny when I talk to teachers, and I'm sure you're the same way when you're in the schools, I get genuinely excited to share this knowledge. And it's on the spot. I'm like, hey, can I come to your classroom today? Can we do this today? And I think it throws people off a little bit. You know, we want to be in their classrooms. We want to do all those things and just be a supportive person. So, all right, let's talk about some other top tools here we got. So we've got, what about presentation tools? And I know I'm going to say this, and I already know where we're going, but Shane, tell us what your top presentation tool is.
I love Canva. I I have the Canva love. Like I joke and tell people that Canva is my ed tech crush. Like, my previous supervisor, he introduced me to Canva back in 2016, and I was just like, I was hooked from then. And admittedly here, like I always have multiple Canva tabs open on my laptop at all times. Like I've always got something going on in there. So I just love it. I mean, it's a free platform for educators, which I think is like, are you kidding me? Like all of this stuff that you have and all I got to do is just show you that I'm an educator and you're going to give it all to me for free. I mean, how many companies do that? I don't know very many that are willing to give away so much for free for educators. So that's just incredible right there. First off from the start, even when you think about what they have in there that you can take and remix, they've got all those templates, right? That you can just take and use. It may not quite be the slide design you need for your upcoming lesson on the American Revolution or organelles of the cell, but it's actually pretty close. It works pretty well. The design looks good, right? But they are also building out those teacher resources too. They're building a teacher resource library with all kinds of slide decks and activities for you. So much good stuff in there from templates that you can take and remix. I mean, I haven't even really talked about just how easy it is to use. It's so user friendly. Like the drag and drop model is makes it so great. And even when I've used it with kids, like I was using it with a fourth grade class. We were just able to roll it out this year. So, you know, Canva's been out for a long time, but we finally got everything approved to use it with students this past year. And I was working in a fourth grade class. And I just watched this kid. She was over there working real hard. And then she just leaned back. She's like, ooh, this looks good. And she got excited. And it just kind of made me feel excited because I'm like, yeah, girl, it does look good. You're doing a good job. So just that moment where she felt good about what she was creating. And it was just educational content. It was a really, really sweet moment for you, but for me. But you have the ability to design with ease. And I mean, I know you're the formal special education teacher here, right? Just the accessibility-ness of it, right? I think it's good for all our learners. Like I have a kiddo with CP and she wanted to have a Curious George birthday party. So I'm like, all right, let's design your, let's make your little invitations. We could go to Etsy and buy those, but let's just jump into Canva and see what we can come up with. And in about 15 minutes, my little girl was able to crank out a pretty cool little birthday invitation. I was really proud. I just kind of sat beside her and worked with her But it, you know, it's so user friendly, but it's also just accessible for our students, and it's free. Did I say free?
I think you said that a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah. I just think that speaks volumes to them, though, that they're willing to just give this away for free. Good stuff.
No, I totally agree with that, and I think just Canva in general. I feel like every time I log in, I see new things, I find out new features, and even for me, like being creative, is hard sometimes to put that out for people to see it. And so like Canva really, you can find those templates, like you said, and you can adjust those. You can adjust the colors. You can add new images. I think the possibilities in the creative side are endless on there. And even for like, you know, podcasting, you know, coming back from TCEA, Shane, podcasting is really, not just because I run a show, but it's really been on my heart to figure out more ways to put it in the school systems, in our classrooms with our students. And you can even do that in Canva. You can record yourself. Kids can see their slides. And you can have that there for them. Super easy to do.
Yeah, they've got from that Elements tab, they've got a lot of sounds, like a lot of music that you can use. And you know, that's there for educators, there for students. You're able to use that for your podcast. So lots of creative opportunities within Canva.
Oh, yeah. And
students can build all kinds of stuff, websites. I mean, all kinds of stuff in Canva.
Oh, yeah. And I forgot about those videos. For example, going back about a year ago, I went through the Apple Learning Coach program, and oh my gosh, if you've never done that, Shane, you need to sign up to go through the Apple Learning Coach program. Just a phenomenal way of thinking outside the box and all the resources that Apple has. In there, you had to do this video, and I created a bunch of it in Canva, and it used the music and everything, and it just tied so well together. And knowing how uncreative I really can be, it really harnessed that, and it just let me do my thing without really having to put a lot of effort and thought into it. And it came out to be a great product on the end of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think you're kind of speaking to the point that, like, I think tools are really at their best when they break down barriers for us. When there was, you know, you may not feel creative, or you may not feel good at this, you may not feel good at that. And I think Canva just does a really good job. Like, maybe creativity is not your number one strength, but when you get in there, you can be creative. You can do this. You can knock this out.
Oh yeah, and anybody can do it, from your littles to your upper grades. I think that's just phenomenal. Even your educators. So just phenomenal things there. All right, Twin, let's talk about new tools, Shane. And I know between AI and presentations, and we're just in a world of new tools are coming out all the time. And I feel like it's really a struggle to stay on top of things, at least for me. And it's really a struggle to share all of them, because really it can be a little overwhelming, because you've got a lot of old school tools that have been around for a while that are phenomenal as well. So what is your, it can be a new one or it can be an older tool out there. It's got you going. It's really, you're wanting to push it out there, wanting to share it. What could that be for us today, Shane?
All right. I'll give you one on both sides here. My old school tool that I really, really love to try to do student projects with, all about student projects, is Google Maps, right? And once you're within a Google Map, you can actually create a custom Google Map. It used to be called My Maps, and it doesn't really have that same name when you're clicking on it anymore. But once you get in there, you can actually your students can actually create layers on a custom map. They can go in, they can collaborate. It could be the 25 deadliest volcanoes in the world, or it can be, you know, retracing the steps of the civil rights movement. But they can come in, they can add locations. On that location, they can add facts. They can add images, they can have videos. So I love the ability for students to create collaborative Google Maps. That one always just gets me super excited. And I've done a session called Oh, the Place You'll Go, where I really dive into how you can create Google Maps. But, you know, if we think about it, that's something we use on a weekly basis. Like, I think I use Google Maps navigating around town on a weekly basis. So why not hijack that for an educational purpose? I get really excited about that. So that's my old school tool that I kind of want to, you know, people to remember, hey, you guys should use this for creativity for your students. My new school tool, the one that I'm really trending, really, really loving lately, is called Glide Apps. And I think you gave a little bit of a shout out to that on a previous episode of the Tech Flush, but it's super, super user friendly. All you really need for your students to do is work off of a Google Sheet. So I kind of like that. They're not really in the Glide interface. They're really just working off of Google Sheet. So they're adding their data, they're adding their information, they're adding their research, and then it will work behind the scenes to kind of package and create this simple little app for students, which I think is pretty cool, pretty powerful. I think I love this because we're teaching them spreadsheet skills. I don't know about you, but I don't think I was really exposed to spreadsheets enough in my K-12 education. But now as an old man, right, I use spreadsheets quite a bit to help me like logically organize information, you know, to help me with my budget, to just kind of all kinds of practical purposes for spreadsheets. So I like GlideApp for that reason, because you're able to kind of sneak in some spreadsheet education, sneak in some computational thinking, and then it just creates a really beautiful product in the end for you in the form of an app, which is also a real world, you know, project, real world skill for students to have, right?
Yeah, that's true. And I think Glide is like what you said. Glide is one of the top ones that I've learned since. You know, you talked about it at CCA, that presentation I was in, and it's been something that I've been sharing. And, you know, going with that spreadsheets, even though, like, you think we're in the same realm, Shane, spreadsheets weren't a big thing going through school. If we did it, I just wasn't interested. It's really a game changer to use those. So I'm trying to think of like an old school term. And I know I made this question up kind of like right before we started on the show, but I'm kind of struggling here. So I think old school, I say old school, but I think just an older thing. I don't know if I have necessarily a certain program. I think sometimes what in education, like there's all these programs. And I think going back, I think sometimes it's fun just to take your Google Slides or your Google Sheets and ramping that up to create something else. I think, you know, like in Google Sheets, I've thought a lot about how to use those with students or how to make it more interactive. And just this week, I was talking to a kindergarten teacher at one of the schools I support, and we talked about in Google Slides, you know how you have all that white space outside of your presentation there when you're not? What if we use that space for drag and drops instead of keeping everything in your presentation little square? I think that was something I've never really thought about. So I thought that was a kind of unique take on using Google Slides. And then I think also Google Sheets. I think Google Sheets is more than just our data, just looking at things. I think we can create lots of cool, not just like worksheets out of it, but have where students are maybe typing their passages, their prompts, their thesis statements, and way more of a unique way of grouping and housing our information. I just think sometimes old school wise, there's more that we can do with these programs than they're really intended for, or how they first came out. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah. You mentioned the interactive drag and drop. Oh, man. I actually love creating those for in Google Slides, because, you know, a lot of we're a big Google district, so our teachers are pushing content out through Google Drive, through Google Classroom, and so you'll have teachers who create assignments in Google Docs, which is fine. But if you think about Docs, that's a portrait, you know, it's vertical, right? Google Slides are actually landscape, and so is their Chromebook, so is their laptop. So if we created activities for them to do in Google Slides, it actually fits the screen a little bit better. So I'll often just kind of volunteer to create little interactive drag and drops. Oh, you're teaching about cells? Here, let me put all the organelles over here, and we've got the image of the cells. But you can also do, you know, graphic organizers, Venn diagrams, a Frayer model, if then, you know, ELA, thinking about what happened in the story, kind of mapping that out, or timelines for history, or, I mean, there's all kinds of drag and drops, or labeling almost too. Like you could, what I like to do actually, is I like to take, if it's a cell, for example, I'll put that in the background of the slide, and I'll make a slide, have the image of the cell, and then put boxes that we're going to label. I'll download that as an image, and then we'll re-upload it, put it in the background of the slide so that they can't delete those text boxes or anything. And then I'll have the drag and drop over there hanging out on the left side where, you know, you'll drag and drop this information over. So simple little pro tip there for you is when you're doing it, put that stuff in the background so they can't accidentally delete anything. But yeah, love it. Love making interactive slides activities.
But you're right. That background tool tip. Is that's where the money's at. If you're not doing that, really, that changes the whole idea of being able to drag and drop or do things and make that Google slide a little more interactive. Oh, and speaking of Google Sheets, I almost forgot this. This kind of popped in my brain. Have you ever done like that pixel art stuff?
Yeah, I've never done that before, but I've seen, I think Eric Kurt does a lot of that. I'd love to. I haven't tried it yet, though. Have you?
I haven't necessarily created one. And again, like, you know, there's so many things that we can steal out there. There's a Facebook group there, and I think it's like Pixel Art for Educators. And these people will create these things, and they'll post their free ones. A lot of them, they're posting it because you need to go to teachers pay teachers. But they do share a lot of good ones, and you can go in there and you can edit, manipulate some of them. It's just unreal, and I think that's another, I don't know, I really like them. They're just fun. Like, you're answering questions, and the image pops up. Like, it's like a worksheet, but it's not a worksheet. It's just more creative, more fun.
I'm going to have to explore that more myself now that you're talking about it.
I'll have to share some with you. I'll share some that I've got just so you can see them. All right. So then my new tool, Shane, and I think I know I just did a podcast about this and it's been on my mind, but new tool automatically goes to short answer.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Like, again, going back to my special education days, like, yeah, you've got these students that really struggle to write. They may have good ideas in their brain, but putting it on paper is a real struggle. And then when you, as a teacher, you're grading them or telling them what to fix, that only goes so far, I think, sometimes. And so to have a peer help you, or to a peer to see it and grade it, or for that other students to see other peers' work, I think is just incredible to see that. Because it's just like how we talk in our new learning network here, Shane. Like, you're doing things. Oh, man, I need to do that. That's an awesome idea. And so we're learning from each other. And I think students do that on a daily basis and learning from each other. So why not do that with writing across all content areas? I think it's just a game changer.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, I think about skills that you learned K-12, like really writing, the ability to clearly state what you're thinking in your brain and get that out in the form of an email or speaking that to someone. That's an important skill, right? And so I do love a short answer for just that ability to kind of up writing skills to help create better writers. Good stuff.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I had a conversation with Adam Spark about it. And really, I didn't think about this beforehand, Shane, but, you know, writing, especially with all this AI tools out here, we can have ChatGPT really write whatever we need to. And I think this program is really going to help students, whether we're writing short things or we're writing more long paragraph type things, is really going to help us with just our writing processes to make sure we're doing things correctly, we're formatting the right way. I think this is going to be a quick and easy way to really help support the writing that we still need to be able to do.
Good point.
So, all right. Well, cool, Shane. I think that's about it for today. Oh, Shane, are you ready for this?
Now,
I know that for some odd reason, I'm having trouble on the technical side of noises. But at about this point, Shane, you're going to hear a toilet flush. I hope you heard that. Not really, but our viewers are going to hear that. So, Shane, I'm going to put you on the spot. I don't have necessarily something prepared, but I may. What is your top tech tip for the tech flush tip of the episode? So what's your top tip that you can share with us today?
Oh my gosh.
I know. I'm on your
top. Oh, goodness gracious, I'm having a hard time.
There's a lot of T's in there.
Okay. All right. I do a lot I'm really, really interested in graphic design, actually, right? Like in how, even within the classroom, like how you're creating content and making it accessible for students, but also making it look really, really good. So I think my top tech tip for today, just because I have fresh on my mind, would be to choose your font wisely. Choose your font carefully, right? There are sans fonts, there are sans serif fonts, there are these cursive handwritten fonts. So I would just like to encourage people to be mindful when you're using those. Handwritten fonts, cursive, you know, those might look cute for you as an elementary teacher, but your students don't know how to read cursive. Ain't nobody gonna be able to read it, right? So be mindful when selecting those fonts, right? I think that would be it. And I could go on for hours about design tips and fonts and stuff like that. But choose your fonts wisely. That's it.
That's a really good tip, Shane. I appreciate you saying that, because I know a lot of times we create things, we look at things that are just more artsy, or that we don't really think about the viewing part of it until we go to a presentation and we see it. And it's like, ooh,
right,
that might not have been the best one. And I think really for students, we need to teach those professional skills of knowing the correct ones to use. You know, going with your font tip, I think there's an extension out there called Crafty Text. I don't know if you've heard of that. But really for Crafty Text is you click the extension and it pops up a box. So now you can share like your URLs, you can share your codes, anything. And it just really enlarges your screen when you're sharing your laptop or your panel, your board, whatever kind of presentation device that you have when you're sharing with students. It just helps enlarge things. I think that's a good follow-up with when we talk about text.
Yeah, awesome. I would also give a shout-out to Canva. I already talked about Canva, but they've got some font pairing guides. If you need some assistance there, you can just Google Canva font pairing, and they give you a lot of good tips on choosing fonts wisely and what fonts play well together and stuff like that.
Goodness, Canva is like unbelievable. We could talk about this Canva forever, because every time I talk to someone, there's something new. There's something else. There's another remix. There's another magic thing. Like, it's unbelievable, Shane.
Yeah.
All right. So, Shane, I don't want to take a whole bunch of your time today. I know we got all kinds of crazy things to do in our schedule. But before we wrap up today, tell us how we can follow you, because since I've followed you on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, I've learned so much. And a lot of those like quick little teacher tips about fonts and things, you're really good about sharing those. So tell us how we can follow along with you.
All right. You can follow me at X or Twitter, whatever we call it, at Shane R. Peak. Capital S, capital R, capital P. Shane R. Peak. And that's 2 E's. That's where you'll find me at. I don't really use any of the other ones. I've considered it, but for now, Twitter is, as well as LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn.
Yeah, somehow I have a LinkedIn account. I don't know how that happened, but people like, I get emails and people want to be my friend on there. I accept them, but I don't remember how I signed up for LinkedIn. So awesome, Shane. Today was awesome. We've talked about 40, 50 minutes. I think just incredible conversations. Didn't seem like it was that long. And this is just really where my heart's at with podcasts. And it's just genuine, heartfelt conversation. So I really appreciate that, Shane. And so any last words?
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, there we go. Awesome. Well, just remember, guys, you can go to our website, which is bit.ly/techflush. You know, you've got the Google form out there. So if you need any other tips or tricks or have questions for Shane or myself or anything else that we've done on the show, feel free to go there. And we, you know, also post notes and things from there. You can also follow me on X or Twitter, depends on how you want to call it, at Josh_Morris65. And you can also follow our district's technology page at bcstechnology.org. And remember, you can follow all these podcasts on Apple, Google, Amazon, anywhere you listen to podcasts at. So until next time, guys, I hope you have a good one, and we'll catch you later. Bye.
thank you for joining us today on the Tech Flush podcast. Stay tech savvy, keep those gadgets charged, and remember, teachers and technology go hand in hand, connecting students to a world of knowledge for an electrifying learning experience. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and spread the word about the Tech Flush to your friends. Catch all episodes on Apple Podcasts. See you next time on the Tech Flush.